May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and those who dwell therein. For God has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in. Who is the ruler of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the ruler of glory may come in. Who is this ruler of glory? The Lord of hosts. The Lord is the ruler of glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the rich graces that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and had believed in him were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. When Molly asked me if I would preach for her so that she could be fully present at jurisdictional conference, I decided I would use the service that she had developed for herself. And as I waded into the scripture text for today, I wondered if I had made the right decision and wondered if I had ever preached on this set of verses from the book of Ephesians over my 40 years of serving local churches. And I'm not sure I ever did. I didn't go looking. It's old and past, but I don't think I ever did. But it was interesting to take on the challenge. It's a dense passage, as you just heard. It is thick with theology that takes some wading through. In fact, one of the commentaries that I read said that this text is like a rushing stream that is clear and swift and sparkling and has many stepping stones with which we might use to wade our way through. Well, no wonder it might feel like a rushing stream, because in the original Greek, what I read was one entire run-on sentence. One long sentence. It was the translators putting it into English who decided we needed to have some periods here and there to break up these sentences. So in a sense, it was a kind of torrent of words. And these words have their origin in poetry and in liturgy and in history, and gathers up those words and images used during that first century time when the church was forming. Now, this scripture text is often attributed to Paul, but many scholars feel that it probably was a follower of Paul who penned these words, and it probably got circulated among several churches and not just in Ephesus. So why? Why this letter to several churches? What was going on? Strangely enough, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but there were divisions in the early church. There were different kinds of people showing up, and they didn't see eye to eye with many things, and they had disagreements about what was right and what was wrong. And there were Jews, and there were Gentiles, and there were men, and there were women, and there were the wealthy and the poor. They spoke different dialects, and they had a variety of cultural backgrounds. So the first stepping stone that I choose out of our swirling river of words, and as suggested by Molly's sermon title, is blessed. Blessed be God. Together, as a community, we are united and bound together when we pause to bless and thank God. Now, as an aside, I have never been personally persuaded that God needs us to bless and thank God, but I do think we need it. Sometimes we human beings get rather enamored and fascinated with our own abilities, our own prowess, our own intelligence, our own creativity, and oh, so much more that's charming about us. It does us good to pause and to thank God, the source of all life, the source of our lives, the source of creating that continues, the source of hope. We need to get perspective and remember our source and who we are grounded. We are blessed by a God who loves us deeply, by a God who cherishes like a parent, who gazes upon a sleeping child with utter devotion and awe. We are blessed by a God who loves all creation and whose creation expresses incredible diversity in plants and sea life and winged creatures and creepy crawly creatures and great and lovely animals that interact with each other in amazing ways. And when we bless this God, we take our place within creation as one of the creatures. We are among the creatures that God treasures. When we do that, we can become more grateful. We become more interdependent with all of life, and we take our place among others. Then the writer reminds us that we are blessed in Christ. Christ blesses us by showing us what God's love looks like. Jesus taught and lived the power of love. For Jesus, to be blessed wasn't a trite phrase that meant everything is great in my life. No, the love of Jesus meant to care deeply about other people, to love the marginalized, to address the reasons why people were hungry or sick, or go after scrupulous leaders who only looked out for themselves. There was nothing sappy about how Jesus loved. And the love of Jesus blesses us by drawing us more deeply into love. How have you experienced the blessing of following Jesus? Was it serving breakfast to those living in shelter through PATH? Was it being part of the Sierra Service Project? Was it the joy of witnessing a baptism in this precious place? Was it doing home repair after a disaster? Or in teaching? Or marching for justice? Is it addressing the city or council officials about concerns in our community? Blessing God for God's good gifts of grace, of forgiveness, of unconditional love, of second chances, launches us to be a blessing for God. The church exists to bless the neighbor, near or far. The church is here as a sign of blessing, of real help, of support, a sign of righteousness in the face of oppression and despair. Last weekend, I attended the wake and memorial service for the Reverend James M. Lawson, Jr. Jim was the architect of nonviolent training component of the civil rights movement of the 60s. Jim had previously traveled to India through the Methodist Church missionary program, and he studied nonviolence under Gandhi. And when Martin Luther King Jr. learned of Jim's background, he invited Jim to please come and organize and lead the training for nonviolent resistance. Jim taught nonviolent resistance up until his death at the age of 95. And friends, we scarcely need any more reminders of how we need to deal with our penchant for violence. It breaks through every day that somehow we human beings seem to look to violence as a solution, and as Jim taught, it is never the answer. Never. At both the wake and the formal service, there was story after story about how Jim called action into being. He was a strong follower of Jesus, and he saw everything he did through the lens of Jesus. He didn't want accolades for his life. He wanted his life to prompt other people to stand up and act up for Jesus' sake. He was instrumental in many justice movements here in Los Angeles, including a labor center at UCLA that bears his name. A former custodian of Holman UMC told a story at the wake. He said there was this homeless guy that kept showing up at the church that used to hang around and ask for help, and the custodian didn't like it. You know, he would try to run him off in maybe some not very nice ways. One day, Jim overheard him trying to get rid of the guy and basically cussing him out. Jim came down from his office and asked to speak to the custodian in his office, and he said, oh, he knew he was in trouble then. Jim asked him, have you ever helped someone? Have you ever given someone food or money to help them out? The custodian said he thought he had. Jim asked, how did it make you feel? He answered, pretty good. Jim said, remember that. Remember that. And the custodian said that the kindness, for he was not berated, the kindness and yet the clarity of Jim's encounter with him that day not only changed his perspective on his job, but of his life. That's being blessed. That's giving and receiving blessing. It changes lives. Jim chose the music for his service, and I just want to say I got to sing with the Holman Choir during the service, which was pretty cool. And two of the song titles exemplify Jim's faith. There is plenty good room, and God is still moving. The second stepping stone in our rushing stream is the word adoption. Let me remind you of that passage. God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of this glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. When we think of adoption, we tend to picture the joy of a family forming when parents adopt a baby or a child and they create a new family, and hope abounds. In this Ephesians passage, there is similar joy and hope, but it's not for individuals being adopted or individual parents. This letter was sent to a whole church. A whole community is adopted into being a new creation in Christ. We are transported as a community into a new world. Being in Christ reframes everything. How we see ourselves and how we see one another, neighbor or stranger, we can see one another in fresh ways, much the way the custodian at Holman did. The idea of adoption was a way to address the diversity of the community. None of us has a claim on an inheritance or credentials in order to be here. None. The inheritance comes from God, and it is for all of us. All of us are adopted as God's own, not just a few. All of us are part of God's family. As the gospel song sings out, there's plenty good room. And isn't our diversity a gift and a strength and a blessing? There is no hierarchy of skills or abilities, for all are needed in order to be a church that loves, a church that loves unconditionally. To be the church that blesses and loves our neighbors means that all of us are needed to do the loving. We're all needed to do the caring. We're all needed to be the blessing, to be the ones who love Jesus and who love like Jesus loves. We are all swept up into God's family by God's grace. The last stepping stone, although there are many others that I'm going to talk about, is found in verses 9 and 10. With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This last stepping stone causes us to see the blessing in mystery. Our world, our lives, are more than what we can physically see or fully experience. If we inhabit only the spaces that we can concretely see, we are missing out on mystery, the mystery of God. God blesses us with capacity for awe and for wonder, and I think it's a most amazing gift. How about the way the sun illuminated a flower petal in just the right way that it seemed translucent? How about the delight of the toddler when the toddler takes the first step and giggles in delight and amazement? Think of the sunset where the sky explodes with color as the sun slips into the ocean. Did you wake up to a cacophony of birds singing? Glorious, glorious sounds. And it may sound strange to you, but I also name when someone breathes their last breath. It is a holy, holy moment. It is mystery when that last breath is exhaled and there is stillness like none other. Absence is palpable. Mystery is not a puzzle to be solved, nor something difficult to try to figure out. Rather, it is something that goes beyond our normal inclination to have short vision. It is a gift of God. It is a gift revealed by God. I experience the mystery of God's will, using that phrase from Ephesians, as something that beckons, that gently lures us toward God's desires, God's hopes for us. It is soft in the sense that we can refuse, we can ignore it, but it is also strong and persistent. And that's how we know that that just might be God who is beckoning. It just might be God who is moving and nudging us along. To be in awe, to behold mystery with no words. That's a blessing. What a gift. What blessing. That God loves us so much to seek us out to be in relationship with us. God lures us toward God's future, and it is shrouded in love and grace. We are called to be present to these blessings. A God who loves us and calls us to love. A God who has adopted every single one of us as God's own. And a God who invites us to trust in mystery as God's revelation. This stream of words from Ephesians opens us up to receive and to be blessing. I close with the words from the late Father John O'Donohue from his book of blessings titled, To Bless the Space Between Us. It's titled For the Senses. May the touch of your skin register the beauty of the otherness that surrounds you. May your listening be attuned to the deeper silence where sound is honed to bring distance home. May the fragrance of a breathing meadow refresh your heart and remind you, you are a child of the earth. And when you partake of food and drink, may your taste quicken to the gift and sweetness that flows from the earth. May your inner eye see through the surfaces and glean the real presence of everything that meets you. May your soul beautify the desire of your eyes, that you might glimpse the infinity that hides in the simple sights that seem worn to your usual eyes. Blessed.